I was reading a story yesterday about a coyote that actually snatched up a small dog and carried it away. And wolves roam through forests and woods and things like that. There are wild animals all around us. And yet, in our homes, we have the descendants of the wolves and the coyotes. We have dogs. Dogs are domesticated. They're sweet. They're usually gentle. But if you take food away from a dog or challenge it with another dog, those domesticated dogs will become quite growly and could bite people and could go back to their wild tendencies. And I was thinking, people aren't all that different than wild dogs. People were also animals of survival, and we still are. We kill each other for dominance. We try to destroy others in our species when they run amok. And then there's the few of us that are somewhat domesticated, where we're very, very nice. We care about the other people in the species. We're loving. But if you take away our bone, watch out.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Don't take away my bone.
Whatever.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the show that you clicked on in order to engage yourself within it.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. We are an odd species, aren't we? I've said so many times, if I was an alien arriving on this planet for the first time, and I landed somewhere in the Midwest near a trailer park. That's where all the UFOs are, by the way. All the abductions take place in trailer parks. Yeah, I guess it's easier to get into the house. I really don't know. But if I were an alien and I landed on this planet and I started observing human nature, I would say, you guys are weird. You guys are so freaking weird. I'm getting back on the spaceship and I am out of here. Let's find a different planet. This one sucks. All the people on this planet, you know what they do? They try to destroy their own planet so someday they all perish. That's what they do here. Let's get in this spaceship and get out of here before anything else happens. Look, they try to destroy each other like on a daily basis. They have like these wars where they just kill each other off because they have different belief systems. Get back in the spaceship, Bobby. We're out of this here planet. I'm not coming back here again. Maybe we'll do a drive-by sometimes and check it out and freak people out, you know, thinking that they're seeing alien spacecraft and everything. But I don't even want to take over this planet because it's just a mess. So let's get out of here. Come on, Bobby. Of course, in my world, every alien is named Bobby, which is quite obvious. No, we're just a messed up species is really what we are. We're totally messed up. We base our existence on illusions. We actually hate each other. if you don't believe what I believe, you are to die. I mean, it's just, we are not well people. We are vindictive. We are manipulative to the hilt. Certain people arise out of the masses, and those are the ones that are like the delusional, screwed up people. It's amazing. It's just kind of interesting how we have evolved to crap. We didn't start out real well, but we evolved to crap. If you look back at the beginning of time, if you believe that Adam and Eve were the first human beings on Earth, then these people walked around naked. Of course, they hadn't invented clothes yet. They just kind of took a leaf off a tree and put it over their private parts. Let me tell you something. I don't believe that if Adam and Eve actually existed as the first humans and didn't evolve from anything, they were just plopped down there, that I can't imagine that the first thing they would do is find a leaf to cover their private parts. I mean, seriously, if there's no food to be had, it's going to be sex. Let's face it. I don't know what happened back then. I don't think anybody was around. I know nobody was around. So the witness list is kind of sparse. Nobody knows what to believe. Nobody has any idea what to believe. There's like 50 different ideas as to how this all started. And then, you know, we were even more messed up before, but now we're still messed up. We idolize the crap people. We idolize people that are crap. It's amazing. And why? Because they stand up strong. The people of crap stand up strong. I don't know. I mean, most people on the planet who are good say to themselves, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. Yeah, that's really it. Anyway, am I getting too deep for you? Is this too deep for you? Is this too much for you to handle? Let me tell you something. I run into people every single day. Not with my car or anything, but just like in, you know, talking to them. And 90% of them, 9 out of 10, it's not a survey I took, I'm just kind of making this up. 9 out of 10 people that I speak to have no idea what's going on in the world. They have no idea. They know the generalities of like who's the president and maybe where the wars are coming from, but they have no idea about anything that goes on. They don't know if they're being tricked, fooled, manipulated. They have no concept whatsoever. They are the patsies, the puppets of the human race. And why are they? Because they don't take a couple of seconds to read a newspaper or anything like that. They don't even watch the news. They're oblivious. All they care about is if their sports team won the game yesterday. That's all they care about. And if they hear something sensational, like something on the front page of the National Enquirer or something, they believe that to be true because it's printed on something. If they go on the internet and they read something, it therefore is the gospel. It's straight out of the Bible. It's absolutely true. It's been fact-checked, everything. Most of the human race, 9 out of 10 people, are total blithering idiots. And it doesn't say much for these people. Doesn't say much for this country, does it? All I'm saying is take a second each and every day and check it out, and you will no longer be the patsy that you are. Okay, good. That was fun, wasn't it? Ron, you know, a little too serious. Can you take it down a notch? Down a notch? Yeah, of course. Most of my listening audience is extremely intelligent because you listen to the show, of course. We are an intelligent group of people, we are. But I'm talking about everybody else. Most people south of the Mason-Dixon line. Ooh, don't say that, Ron. That's really not nice. Well, kind of true. Anyway, the more that someone in their life is exposed to culture, is exposed to different people from different backgrounds, is exposed to cultural people who have an appreciation for the arts and the appreciation of life itself and the environment. And these people usually tend to be more urban and tend to be spend their lives in the mix of a broad society. People who live in the country tend to only infiltrate themselves, and that's about it. I compare it to either going to the theater or to a museum if you're urban. If you're country, what time is the tractor pull? Now, I know that's really, really like categorizing people, but that's apparently what we do in this country. We put people into categories and we treat them accordingly. I learned this from the president. President himself puts people in categories, and everybody in that category is just a piece of crap. Hillary Clinton did it and was chastised for it. She called the Trump supporters the barrel of despicables, I believe. And boy, that really that hurt her. That hurt her campaign. And yet, this Trump dude says this every single day in tweets, demeaning anybody that doesn't agree with him in the most despicable barrel manner. And yet, nothing. I've never seen crap roll off of a person more than him. He's got like a Teflon thing where all the crap seems to... he's surrounded by crap. He is crap, and yet it all falls off of him. I don't know. It's like that Gotham steel pan there that they sell where nothing sticks to it. You know, you don't have to put butter in or anything. You know, you cook your food in it, and it can burn. You can burn the cheese, and the burnt cheese will slide right out of the pan. That's kind of like Trump. All the burnt cheese just falls right off of him. It's amazing. It's just amazing. We are a tight club here of intellectuals, but there are certain rules and regulations. It's been a while since we've done this, but I want you to sign below after you hear this disclaimer.
This is the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you for coming. Your waiter will be along shortly. Please be advised that the Ron Van Dam Show has been designated as a non-smoking area. Please watch your step while boarding the Ron Van Dam Show, as contents may have shifted during travel. In clinical studies, the Ron Van Dam Show has not been shown to reduce cholesterol in laboratory animals. Exits are located to the rear on the left and right sides of the auditorium. The sea bass is steamed and served with a white truffle risotto. Illinois residents add 5% sales tax. Shake before serving. If dizziness or swelling occur, stop using the Ron Van Dam Show immediately. Proper ID is required. No cover charge after 10 p.m. Moo. Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show may require you to lift objects weighing 15 pounds or more. Please remain seated until the Ron Van Dam Show comes to a complete stop.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Coming up a little bit later in the show, the chief of the CDC's Healthy Swimming Program is going to be speaking to us. That's the Center for Disease Control, the CDC. Sorry, I didn't say the whole word thing, but that's what it is. And it'll scare the crap out of you. I'm talking a lot of crap today. It'll scare the crap out of you. And swimming in a public swimming pool is life itself. You want to get in there with everybody else, but when you do, you find out all they're doing is peeing in the same place you're standing. That's pretty much society itself. So the swimming pool is a microcosm. We throw chlorine in it and all that stuff, you know, to make it more palatable, but it's smoke and mirrors. It's really disgusting. I'm going to ask the question of this guy with this chief when we speak. Hey, chief, later on, but... some hotels, you walk into the hotel and all you smell is chlorine. Like, what's up with that? Why does a hotel lobby smell like you're in the swimming pool itself? I mean, that can't be good. It just can't be good. So we'll speak to him later on. It is the season to be concerned about swimming with other people. And I'm concerned about it. You know, everybody's concerned about going to the bathroom now. You know, you go to the bathroom and 50 other people have sat on that toilet that you're sitting on in that public restroom thing. And you go to, you touch the doorknob, you push the door open, you're touching the place that hundreds of other people touched with their little sexual diseases. And it's just, bathrooms are just disgusting. And then we had a segment here about half a year ago saying that cell phones were incredibly disgusting. And when you go to hotels, the remote controls in the hotels are disgusting. They don't sanitize remote controls. They may wipe them down with a dirty cloth that they just used to wipe the toilet down. I mean, I don't work in a hotel, but I do understand that other people stayed in the room before me. And probably masturbated or had sex on the bedspread. I don't doubt it. Or spilled something disgusting on the rug and I'm walking around barefoot. I mean, I know that. I'm aware. But with the smoke and mirrors where everything looks so damn clean, you don't see how actually dirty it is. And you know that it is. I have the attitude at this point, what the hell? What am I going to do about it? You know, I mean, I'm not going to walk around with paper towels in my hands, wiping everything down like a crime scene, you know, like I've just been to O.J. Simpson's house at Brentwood. I mean, I can't live like that. I went into the lovely city of Boston on Saturday, and I went to a restaurant, not a real clean one, and I had to go to the restroom. I had to sit on the toilet. I just had to. And I went in there and I closed the door and I sat on it. And I said to myself, you know, should I be laying toilet paper down on the toilet seat so that my ass cheeks don't touch the toilet seat? Because thousands of people have sat on this toilet seat and I know they probably cleaned the bathroom overnight, but like, how much do they really care? So I said, what the hell? And I just sat on the toilet seat. My skin touched the toilet seat of the place that ass skin has probably touched thousands of times before. And I live to tell about it the next day. I am here and I live to tell about it. And I think my ass cheeks are perfectly fine. Not to say that when I got home, I didn't take an immediate shower concentrating on the ass cheeks, but, this is just something we live with. And I'm not a scientist. I didn't even play one on TV, although I would have accepted the part handily if it paid enough. But I'm just saying that I think that if you shield yourself from all this bacteria stuff, that the one day that a bacteria infiltrates your fingertips, it's going to be nasty. I think the body, our human bodies, in a miraculous way, they need little tastes of bacteria so they know what to fight off. You know, so the body says, I'm familiar with this. I'm not going to allow it. When you have a foreign thing come in that the body has never dealt with before, that's when you have the weak system. You know, that's where you don't fight it off well. Is this making sense to you? Do I sound like a doctor to you? How about this? Tell me if I sound like a doctor now. I'll send you the bill in the mail and charge you for things that I didn't even do to you. Now I sound like a doctor, right? Yeah. I get little things in the mail from my health insurance company. They shouldn't do that. It shows my recent doctor visit and all the lab tests that I had. I get a blood test once a year. Sure, who doesn't? Why not? And there's about 40 different charges. All I know is I went to the doctor. I sat on their little table. The doctor asked me to breathe, put the stethoscope there, took my blood pressure, took my temperature, weighed me, I think did an EKG, I'm not sure what that was, and did a blood test. And that to me is like five things. Somehow there's 40 items on this bill with all kinds of references to things I have no concept of. That health insurance bill could be charging me for a condo in Florida. I have no idea. There's no way that I would know. It's not like I call the health insurance company and say, line number 7 on this copy of the bill that you sent me shows a PUN 73-2 bun extraordinaire dash D7. I got to tell you, it wasn't a D7, it was a D6. You don't do that. You have no idea what you're looking at. It's absurd. They could be charging me for lunch. I have no idea what they're charging me for. They could be charging me for removing my appendix. I mean, which they didn't do. I still have it. It's very, very confusing and very disconcerting. But now, the summer has arrived. People are jumping in pools in a communal sense. And I often wonder just how sanitary that really is. And I think I have a perfect right to do that. So we're going to take a little commercial break, which, you know, I need a break. I'm sure you need a break as well. And when we come back, we'll speak to the CDC chief of swimming pools. I guess that's not the real title.
When you reach for a beer, what are you looking for? The finest malts, grains, and hops. An artisan ale that represents a modern take on traditional brewing techniques that master brewers have refined and treasured for years. A true beer drinking experience. Or like most of us, are you just looking to get fucked up on the cheap? Well, if you're like the rest of us, congratulations, your beer is here. It's Fockenhalter. It's not a great beer. It's not even a good beer. It's a beer that's $4 a case, and it's strong enough to melt the chrome off a trailer hitch. So kiss your liver goodbye and say hello to Fockenhalter. It's beer.
Dr. Ralph Morris joins us now. He's a member of the Water Quality and Health Council and specializes in preventative medicine and public health. And we're talking about swimming pools. It's that time of year that people start swimming again. And the public pools apparently raise a certain number of concerns and attention. So what do we need to know? What do we need to know here? I understand a survey has been taken.
Well, yes, we did a survey this year, and there are a couple of points that I think are important to glean from the survey.
Okay.
One is you want to be sure that the pool that you're going to is a healthy pool. And probably the best way to ensure that the pool is healthy is to review the inspection reports by the local or state health department. And the survey that we did concluded that over half the adults never checked the survey of the pool that they are going to.
I would never think.
What's even a little more concerning is if you look at surveys across the board, mm-hmm. 8 out of 10 surveys will find at least one violation in the pool. And CDC did a study where they found one in eight swimming pools had a problem so serious that it had to be closed down immediately.
Oh.
So this is kind of a buyer beware situation, that if you're going to a pool that you're new to or unfamiliar, it's probably a good idea to take a look at the inspection report to be sure that it's healthy.
So all pools in public locations have to be inspected annually?
It varies from state to state.
Mm-hmm.
But across the board, pools, public pools, mm-hmm. Are inspected annually, or at least annually.
Okay. So public pools would be town pools. What about hotel pools? Are they considered public pools or private pools?
They're considered semi-public pools.
Uh-huh.
I know in some states that they are also required to have inspection reports, as well as a certified manager managing the overall operation of the pool.
Okay.
But that's also another good question to ask.
Yeah. Now, what about town pools that are man-made lakes? There's a lot of those around. Are those considered pools as well?
No, those they come under the class of recreational waters, and because they're natural or man-made waters, they don't have the same requirements as a swimming pool in terms of chlorination and filtration.
So that, see, to me, that would be a something to question, because if they don't have chlorine and they're not, you know, and it's a man-made small little pond lake kind of thing, then anything can happen any time, I guess, to change the acidity or the alkaline of that swimming body.
Well, and or becoming contaminated.
Yeah.
And I know that local health departments along beachfronts and inland lakes where swimming is popular will periodically test those waters to be sure that there's no contamination.
Okay.
And if they find something, they'll actually close those beaches to swimming also.
It's funny because when I go to a hotel pool, sometimes there's so much chlorine, not only can I smell it from the lobby, but my eyes start to, like, get foggy or burn a little bit just from being near the pool, which I always figure that's maybe a good thing or maybe it's a bad thing. I don't even know.
It's a bad thing. If you can smell chlorine, you're actually not smelling chlorine, but you're smelling a compound with chlorine, and indicates that there's not enough chlorine in the pool. But if you go to a hotel and are able to see or smell the chlorine, you should really talk to management and ask them what the status is of their pool. Another thing you can do, and we supply this through our website, healthypools.org, is you can get a free test kit, which is a basically a paper strip that you can put in the water to test the chlorine and pH level to be sure that they are at safe levels.
So I can do that myself.
You can, exactly.
That's not a bad idea, because a lot of these public pools have what we call public kids in them. And they do all kinds of stuff in pool. I mean, I was a child, and, you know, I don't think I really followed the rules of body fluids in a pool. And also you get kids with open wounds and sores and things. And I, you know, when you think about it, if it's not properly balanced, stuff can happen.
Yeah, and that's another one of our messages, that you have, as a parent, you want to be sure that you supervise your children while they're swimming.
Yes.
If they've been sick, particularly with diarrhea, don't let them in the pool. You want to be sure that both adults and kids take a good shower with soap before getting into the pool. And that you want to be sure that you get the kids out of the pool and give them bathroom breaks as opposed to doing a bathroom break in the pool.
Yeah, I know. But Dr. Morris, that's in a perfect world. And most parents don't even think of what you're talking about.
I think a part of it is just education and reminding people that,
I
guess, you know, this is about good pool etiquette.
Yeah.
And it's not only for your protection, but the protection of others.
What about when one is swimming, if you're an adult, for example, if one is swimming, are there certain things that you kind of can do to avoid those kinds of hazards, such as not take any pool water into your mouth, et cetera?
Well, that's another message is, and I think perhaps all of us have done this from time to time, but you really do not want to use pool water for drinking water.
Ooh.
That is just setting yourself up for a problem. So We say you do not want to taste the water and keep your mouth closed when it's underwater.
Yes, there's no question about that. Can these germs and things like that be transposed just through the skin? In other words, you're in the pool, you only have trunks on. That in itself is kind of disgusting, to be honest with you. I'm really swimming around with naked people with just a little patch of cloth around their bottoms. And anyway, how is that transposed? Is it through the skin, these bacteria?
The most common form of transmission of whether we're talking about bacteria, virus, or parasites is actually people getting water in their mouth and swallowing the water into the GI tract.
All right.
Most of these diseases are not absorbed through the skin, but get exposed to mucus surfaces of the body and are absorbed that way.
Yeah.
But the most common is swallowing of water.
Okay, all right. So that's probably the number one thing that you can do. I mean, most people will say, hey, I've been swimming in public pools all of my life and nothing's ever happened to me, so what are they talking about?
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, fortunately, that's the vast majority of people.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do is just educate people to be a little bit safer and to be a little bit more aware of the pool that they're swimming in.
Yeah. So where do we get more information about this?
If you go to healthypools.org, there's two really good resources there. One is the free test kit that I mentioned,
yes.
Where an individual can test the water themselves. But a new feature we've added this year are actual inspection reports from a variety of states.
Good.
So if you go to the website, you can click on to state reports and see if the pool that you're going to, if their report is on that site.
Perfect.
If the report isn't at that site, mm-hmm. and you go to the pool, you could certainly ask the pool manager, can I see your report, and why isn't it listed on the website?
Perfect. Well, Dr. Morris, thank you so much for your time today. Important conversation, and thanks for having it with us.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity.
Take care. Bye-bye. All righty then. Swimming, anybody? Want to go swimming? Feel like going swimming? Huh? Want to go swimming? How about those little hot tubs? With this, like 200 degrees in those things, and germs just have a field day growing and multiplying, and here comes your butt. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.